Mark chapter 7, verse number 24. We're going to call this the power of a praying mom. The power of a praying mom. There's so many other ways you could title this, but this is what we're going to title this one, and I think it'll be helpful for you. Now, this morning, it's helpful for me. This morning, the message was, what do you do when God says no? Tonight, what do you do when God just doesn't answer? And I didn't plan them to go together, but maybe somebody needs this here tonight. And I know I need, this is a lesson that I will often need. Whenever we pray, so many times we just don't get that answer right away. You know what I'm talking about. If you've prayed, if you've had a burden and you've prayed for God to answer, it just hasn't come through right away. If you're praying for finances, it's rare that the answer comes right away. If you're praying for a relationship, sometimes those take just so much longer, and you're praying for something that you have absolutely no control over. It's somebody else completely. They've got a free will, and they can choose to fight against God. And so it takes a long, long time sometimes for these prayers to be answered. The person that we're going to see tonight in the scripture is a lady. We don't have her name. We have a little bit about where she's from, and that's it. But she comes to Jesus, and he just ignores her. Now, first of all, going to God and being ignored, that's just a thought. We can't see him. If he ignores us, we wonder sometimes, is he hearing my prayer? Am I praying right? Am I getting his attention? But in this case, this woman comes to Jesus, and she knows he hears her. She's talking right to him, and he doesn't even answer. He just ignores her and just continues on with whatever he was doing. So the power of a praying mom, Mark chapter 7, verse number 24, that's where we're going to start. We're going to read three verses, and then we'll read the rest of the verses as we're going through. There's also a parallel chapter in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to be going back and forth between the two of these to fill in the gaps. But I want you to see this story. It's an amazing story, and I think a great lesson on prayer and the importance of praying. We're just preaching through the book of Mark, and this is what we've come to right now, and I believe it's going to be very helpful for all of us. Mark chapter 7, verse 24. The Bible says this, "And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon." Before I go any further, Tyre and Sidon, that means he's going north of Israel. You've got the Israel, you've got the lower part of Israel, we'd call Judah. If you go all the way to the top, if you're going up the Mediterranean Sea, you could go to the top of the border, the border of Israel, and up there you've got Tyre, Sidon. This is the area of, we would call it Syria now. And you've got a woman that is from there. It's about to meet him. So he goes into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into an house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. There'd be a whole other message right there, just even our Savior needing some rest. But verse 25, "For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter." This is a message about prayer. Let me give you a little bit of a background. First of all, Adoniram Judson said this. He was a great missionary to Burma. We would call it Myanmar now. But Adoniram Judson said this, "I am persuaded that we are all more deficient in a spirit of prayer than in any other grace. God loves importunate prayer." Importunate. It's not important, it's a different word. Importunate means you just don't give up. You keep going, you keep asking, and you don't quit. "God loves importunate prayer so much that he will not give us much blessing without it. And the reason that he loves that prayer or such prayer is that he loves us and knows that it is a necessary preparation for our receiving the richest blessings that he is waiting and longing to bestow." This is from a veteran missionary. This is from someone who has spent his life praying and getting answers to prayer. He spent his life reaching people. He spent his life, in Adoniram Judson's case, going through a lot of suffering for the purpose of reaching people with the gospel. Importunate prayer. That's what we're talking about tonight. Praying and not quitting. Praying and just keep on praying, even if it seems that God isn't hearing. So here's the introduction. Jesus was north of Israel in the area of Tyre and Sidon. That's what we just described to you, the area of Syria. You've got, it used to be called Phoenicia. And they were known for their shipbuilding, for sailing across the Mediterranean Sea. Syrophoenician would means that basically this was a Roman person. She's a Greek, but under the rule of Syria, Syrophoenician. So she is from that area. She approaches Jesus and desperately begs him to heal her daughter. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile. In fact, the Bible says she was a Canaanite. Now keep your place in Mark chapter 7 because we're going to be going back and forth here. But look at Matthew chapter 15. If you have a bookmark or a bulletin, some of you have a whole year's worth of bulletins. Find that your Bible's a great filing cabinet for bulletins sometimes. Find Matthew chapter 15. Keep your finger there in Mark chapter 7. She's a Canaanite. So a Canaanite was somebody who lived in the area and can trace their history back to the area of Palestine, even before the Israelites came and took over the promised land. These were the people that were taken over. These were the people that were, many of them, run out of the land because the Jews, God had given them this land. And she was one of the people that they really looked down upon. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." So she traces her heritage back to those nations that lived in Palestine. The Jews, think about this. You know the stories of the Jews not socializing with the Samaritans. The Samaritans, they would be called a mixed breed. These were people that the Jews would just look down upon. They were half Jew and half, who knows, something else. The Canaanites would have been looked down even lower than that. These were people who God had taken away their land and given it to the Hebrew people. Her problem was even worse now because she's a Canaanite. She's a Greek. She's a Syrophoenician by nation. She comes up to Jesus and she desperately begs Jesus to heal her daughter. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, she says, I'm in Mark. Did I tell you to turn to Matthew? And I didn't turn to Matthew. You know that's going to happen. I printed it up here so I won't have to turn back and forth. Here it is. I found it. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David." Here's her request. "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She had a problem that she couldn't comprehend. She knew there was a problem. She even had an idea what the problem was. She said, "My daughter is vexed with this devil." But there's no way that she could comprehend it. She couldn't wrap her mind around it. This problem was bigger than she could understand. I mean, how can you know if someone's being grievously vexed with the devil? You know, I imagine that we often come in contact with people who are either possessed or vexed by devils. It's not something we think about a whole lot. But just look at how many times Jesus, in 3 years of ministry in one little small area in rural and ranching towns, look how many times Jesus cast devils out of people during that very short amount of time. I can't wrap my mind around somebody being vexed by a devil. I don't know that I could tell you the symptoms. I could look at the Bible and I could say, well, that's what that person did. But here's this woman coming to Jesus and saying, "My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." She has an idea what the problem is, but there's no way she can understand. She can't comprehend it. You know, there's going to be times when you need to go to God for an answer to a problem that you don't even understand. There's the similarity here. She knew there's my daughter's being grievously vexed by a devil, but how does that flesh itself out? How can you describe that to somebody? Have you ever found yourself asking God to fix something bigger than you or more complicated than you can understand? Maybe praying for God to work or fix a relationship that you have no control over, or a spiritual problem that you have to rely completely on God to come through for you. I just want to put you in this woman's place for a moment. She's coming to Jesus. She's an outsider. And she's asking Jesus to do something that she has no authority to do anything about. She can't cast out the devil. She can kind of recognize what's going on. She doesn't even know what's going on inside her daughter's heart. She's coming to Jesus for him to do something greater than she can even imagine. You know, sometimes we pray for things where we have some kind of bearing on the outcome. We'll pray for it, and that's good. We ought to. Let me give you an example. A test at school. I think you ought to pray for a test at school. I think you ought to pray that God would help you at a test at school. But if you pray for God to help you at a test at school, and you just refuse to study because you say, no, it's okay, I prayed about it, you're probably not going to do very good on this test. Now, some people say, well, you know, go to that verse, God helps those who help themselves. Well, that's not a verse in the Bible, but you could point to the principle here and say, pray about those things that you have no control over. Do everything that you can to do your best. There's some principles there we could throw at you, but here's the idea. You pray about it, but you also do something to do your very best on that test. You study. I think whenever I was a teacher, I would pray this right before the test. And the kids just loved me for it, I'm sure. I would say, and God, would you please bless them according to how they studied on this test? And I could just hear the groans. Oh. So I helped them with their tests. I helped them to study, and we did quizzes and things like that. But I was trying to get the point across. You can't just say, God, do it for me, when God has given you the authority and the power to take care of some. There's some things like that. There's some things like a soul to be saved. We pray for somebody to be saved, but we can also witness to that person. We ought to. We pray for them to be saved, and let's look for an opportunity to witness to that person. Now don't try to witness to the person without praying for them to be saved, but don't just pray for them and not witness to them if God puts that on your heart to be able to talk to that person. So sometimes we pray for something where we have a bearing on the outcome, but there are many times where we can do absolutely nothing, and the only thing we can do is pray. You're probably in a situation like that right now. In fact, most of us, at some point, at many times in our life, are facing that situation where I say, God, there's absolutely nothing I can do. You have got to be the one that does this, and all I can do is pray. And that's where the Syrophoenician woman found herself. She came to Jesus. It's not like she could come and ask him for something and then do something about it. She just had to throw herself completely to him and say, would you do this? So she comes to Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verse 22, and she says, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. This is her first request. She cries to Jesus for mercy. She recognized Jesus for who he was. She says, would you have mercy? And then she says, O Lord, thou son of David. To say that Jesus was Lord, and in my Bible it's a capitalized Lord, you realize she's admitting that she's recognizing that he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Not only the Son of David, but also the promised one, the Son of God. She recognizes Jesus as Christ. She cries out for mercy. She comes in and she correctly realizes who she's talking to. And then she prays in a way that I would think God would want to answer her prayer. You might agree with me. She's asking for God to cast out this devil that's in her girl. I would think she's praying according to God's will. I would think certainly Jesus would want to cast out a demon. He was doing it every other place he went. He was going about for the first, we were in chapter 7 now of Mark. For about 6 chapters now, he's been walking around, and as he goes town to town, he's casting out these devils, and he's healing people. She says, have mercy on me. She recognizes who Jesus is, the Son of God, and the Christ, and then she prays according to what I would think would be God's will. But look at Matthew 15, 23. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Jesus didn't answer her. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He didn't say anything. He seemed to be ignoring her. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what she was thinking. The Bible doesn't tell us what Jesus was thinking. But she may have thought that Jesus wasn't listening to her prayer. Have you ever been there? I feel like I'm praying right. I'm asking God for mercy. I'm humbly coming to God, and I'm recognizing that God's the one that can answer this, not me. And God, I believe I'm praying according to your will. And I say amen, and I hear crickets. Chirp, chirp, chirp. Nothing. It's silent. And God, I need you. Was that a good cricket sound? Should I try that a little bit differently? God, I need you to come through for me in a way that I can't do anything for myself. and he just is quiet. Have you ever prayed and it seemed that God wasn't listening? Well, I have. Well, there are times when I pray and I feel like my prayers are just not getting anywhere. I feel like I'm talking to myself. I feel like I might as well not even be praying. Now, it would be wrong if I thought that, but sometimes I think that. I might as well not even be praying because I feel like God's not even answering. Or you'll pray and then days will go by and weeks will go by and there's no answer to that prayer. He, she was in the presence of Jesus Christ and she asks him for something. He doesn't even answer. Not a yes, not a no, nothing. So she might have thought Jesus was just not listening. She may have been wondering what Jesus was thinking. I would have been. What is he thinking? I just asked him to heal my daughter. I've heard that he's been healing people. In fact, I've met some people that he's been healing. I know that he can do it, and I know that he has done it. But why isn't he even answering me? Was he trying to tune her out? Was he hoping that someone would take her away? Was he hoping that she'd get tired of asking and just leave? Was he waiting to see if she really wanted an answer bad enough to keep asking? We could guess, but we don't know. Why didn't he answer? I don't know that I could tell you the answer to that. I'd say, I don't know. Have you ever wondered why what God was thinking when he didn't answer your prayer right away? I'm hoping that you can relate with this woman. God, I've got this request, and I just know that it would be your will. I'm praying for somebody's salvation. And God, I know it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God, I know this is your will. I know it's according to your will. Why aren't you answering? Why does it seem like you're not even listening? And I've wondered. Have you ever wondered that? Well, she came to Jesus and she gave her first request. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. But I want you to notice her continued presence. She didn't leave. She asked that one time and she stayed. In fact, she kept asking. The disciples came to Jesus and said, would you send her away? She's bothering us. She's just following us wherever we're going. Maybe they're in one house, but she just won't leave. And she just keeps asking. And Master, why don't you just give her an answer? Say yes or say no, say something. But would you send her away? Matthew 15, 23, the Bible says, they said, send her away, for she crieth after us. She's not stopping. She's becoming a nuisance. If you just answer her, maybe she'd leave. Say yes, say no, whatever, but let her leave. And Matthew 15, 24, she's still there. She's still asking. But Jesus answered and said, now, who's he talking to? He's not talking to her. He still hasn't answered her. He's talking to his disciples. The disciples that came and said, would you send her away, for she crieth after us. And then finally Jesus answers and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm sure she heard that. I imagine she did. I guess I'm not sure she heard it. I imagine she did. But hearing that, she may have thought she didn't qualify to have Jesus answer her prayer. She may have thought that she wasn't worried. And why do I think that? Because those are the thoughts that I think. Those are the thoughts that we think. As I pray and I'm just wondering, maybe I don't qualify. I'm not the right kind of person. Maybe he'll listen to that person's prayer, but not my prayer. I'm not the kind of person that God would listen to. Well, you just got to realize he is hearing every word of this. He has been hearing her. He has been listening to her. I don't know why he didn't answer right away, and I don't know why he made her wait, but I can tell you he has been hearing. You may be there this evening. You may be thinking, I don't qualify for God to answer my prayers. I mean, what's so special about me? Maybe the pastor's prayers, maybe those faithful people at church's prayers, but not my prayers. And that's where you'd be wrong. She didn't have any kind of special reason to have her prayer answered. She's a Greek woman. She's a Syrophoenician. She's a Canaanite. It's not like she was somebody that grew up in Israel or in Jerusalem or something special like that, but he was listening to her. See, these are the thoughts that we think. But she didn't leave, and she kept asking. And you got to get this. She didn't leave. She kept asking. So there's her first request, heal my daughter. She's grievously vexed with the devil. And she continues to stay in Jesus' presence. And then in verse 25, we see her second request. Matthew 15, 25. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. And then Jesus said, it wouldn't be right to take the children's meat and cast it to the dogs. Look at this prayer. Now, I can't explain to you why Jesus answered this way. I don't have a really good answer. I wish I could. I wish I could come up to you and say, look, he wasn't being mean. He was just, this is what he was doing. I can't tell you. I don't know the reason, but I can tell you what the Bible says, and I can tell you what happened that God wanted us to know. So she comes, and the Bible says first, she worships him. She comes to him and she says, Lord, Lord. She comes and humbly says to him, after he's been ignoring her, and after he says, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and she these three words, Lord, and then help me. Lord, help me. My daughter has this devil. She's being grievously vexed with this devil. And she comes and she worships, and then her prayer is so simple. It's only three words. Lord, help me. If you've been wondering if God is listening to your prayers, if you've been wondering, here's what we wonder sometimes. Am I praying with the right words? Did I put enough old English in there for God to really understand me? Now, I'm not making fun of old English because I believe King James Bible, the inspired word of God. But a lot of times when people pray, they'll say things like, Lord, we thank thee that, and use some words that you might not be familiar with. I don't use those words when I'm talking. I use it when I read my Bible, and that's I memorize these verses, but that's not how I talk, really. And you might be thinking, well, maybe I'm not saying the right words. Maybe I don't know all the church words well enough to get God to answer my prayer. No, wait a minute. She just said, Lord, help me. It was simple. It wasn't flowery. It wasn't something impressive. It wouldn't be probably written down on plaques and sold in the markets and things, but it was effective. Lord, help me. She worships him and then simply prays only three words. And then she made her request personal. Lord, help me. Lord, would you help me? It's not fancy. We talked and we preached about this on Wednesday, desire. And how when you have a desire and God puts a desire on your heart, you can go to God, you can pray to God and have this powerful prayer based on a powerful desire. So she comes and she says, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meet or appropriate to or fitting. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. If you were to look at Mark chapter 7 and verse 27, Jesus said it this way. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Jesus refused to answer her. The best way I can figure is that she's not part of his plan at the time. He come to seek and to save, and he's coming to reach his old people first. And then we see the story through the book of Acts and how we realize that the gospel didn't just come to the Jews, but it also came to the Greeks. And in Romans, how it's for the Jews and the Greeks also. But at this time, he's come to the children. He's coming to the people of Israel. She could have thought Jesus would never answer her prayer. She might have been discouraged. She might have been frustrated. But she kept asking. In Mark chapter 7, you've got one little clue word that may give us a reason why she just kept at it. Mark 7, 27, but Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled. I don't know, I don't want to split too many hairs here, but the fact that he said first might just be that she said, well, in her heart thinking, well, if the children are first, then there's got to be a second. There's got to be somebody coming after that, and maybe that could be me. I don't know if that's it, but she kept asking. It may seem like God will never answer your prayer, but keep praying. You got to understand this. God's on a completely different schedule than we are. He's not in a rush. He knows how it's all going to turn out. He doesn't panic. He has no reason to. We may be praying for somebody's salvation for a long time. We're praying for a relationship to improve or finances to come in. And you've heard this. God always answers, sometimes early, never late, but he always answers right on time. He's on a different schedule than we are. He knows the end. Right now, he can look towards the end. He can see it. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to turn out. Nothing freaks him out. Nothing scares him. He knows what's going to happen. Her second request was, Lord, help me. Jesus' answer was, let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And then in Matthew 15, verse 27, you've got her asking again, how many of us would have stopped by now? I'm going to raise my hand because first he's ignoring me. I don't know if I'd have made it past that. He's ignoring me. He's not even listening to me pray. And then I asked again, and he said it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now it kind of looks like he's insulting me. I don't believe that's what's happening, but looking at it from my perspective, I don't know that I'd have made it past that. There's got to be a reason why he said it that way. But here she goes. She continues, and she asks again. Look at Matthew 15, 27. Jesus has just said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Now in verse 27, it's Matthew 15, 27. And she saith, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I know other people can probably preach this a lot more eloquently than I can, but let me just give you a simple truth. First of all, she just agrees with Jesus. Jesus says, let the children be filled first, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast to the dogs. And she said, you're right. You're right. In Mark, she says, yes, Lord. Let me look that one up. It's verse 28, Mark chapter 7, verse 28. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. She agrees with him. She's not arguing with him. She's not trying to push her own will on him. Now, she is being persistent, but she says, you're right. Truth, Lord. She agrees with Jesus. And then listen to this. She reasons with Jesus. I can't explain this. All I can tell you is what happened. I can't tell you why the God of the universe would reason with a human being. Why would he reason with you or reason with me? He does say, come now and let us reason together. We know that he said that. We have examples in the Bible of where people have had a discussion with God. You could say they're reasoning with God. Moses, over and over, reasoning with God. And here, she reasons with him. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I can't tell you the reason that is the phrase that moved Jesus, except to say it was her faith, because that's what he says. But she reasons with him. She comes to him the first time and she says, have mercy on me. She's got a need. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Then her second request was, Lord, help me. Now this third time she says, truth, Lord. She doesn't even ask for this prayer request again. She just reasons with him. She takes what the table that the Lord set this conversation, and she just works with it. Jesus said, it's not meet to cast the children's bread to the dogs. And she says, truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She reasons with Jesus. Look at Mark chapter 7 now, verse 29. Mark 7, 29. We're going to go back to Matthew in just a second. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. What an incredible conversation. I don't know why he didn't answer the first time. I don't know why he didn't answer the second time. But now she's said, truth, Lord, and now she's reasoned with him, and she said, yes, Lord, get the dogs under the table, eat of the children's crumbs. And Jesus says, for this saying, go thy way, your daughter's healed. Matthew chapter 15, now verse 28. The same story, but just a different perspective. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Three thoughts. O woman, great is thy faith. Her faith got the answer she was looking for. Her faith led her to keep asking. Her faith led her to approach a stranger from a completely different nationality. Her faith led her to reason with Jesus. Her faith pushed her, no doubt, out of her comfort zone, and she just continued this conversation. Even as the disciples said, Lord, send her away. O woman, great is thy faith. Then he says, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. This is awesome. The answer was exactly what she asked for. Jesus answered and he says, what you asked for is exactly what you're getting, even as thou wilt. And then her daughter was instantly healed. Her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In Mark chapter 7, verse 30, the Bible says, and when she was come to her house, She found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Now think about this. When she first came to talk to Jesus, what was her daughter? Describe her daughter, the word vexed. Her daughter was vexed. And now she comes home and her daughter is laying upon the bed. The Bible doesn't use this word, but she came back and found her daughter peaceful. What a difference. What a difference, a vexed life and now a peaceful life. I guess my question is why? Why did Jesus ignore her? Why did Jesus make it so hard on her? And my answer, I don't know. I can't tell you the reason. I've read a lot of people's ideas on it, read some commentaries on it, why, and they had some different ideas, but I still have to say, I don't know. Maybe he was testing her faith. Maybe he was testing his disciples' response. They said, Lord, send her away. She's bothering us. And maybe he's thinking, well, they're not ready. There's going to be a whole bunch more people coming to them. We're going to see thousands of people saved, lives changed, this world turned upside down. They're not ready. But the Bible doesn't say that, so I don't know if that's it either. We just don't know. And we don't know why God doesn't answer our prayers right away. I can't tell you. I can't tell you why God doesn't answer our prayers right away. We do know that he knows what's best. We do know that he loves us. We do know that he rewards faithful, persistent praying. But I can't tell you the why. So here's the lesson, and we're done. Don't be afraid to pray about anything and everything. Just pray about it. Bring it to God. Keep praying. And don't stop praying until you get an answer. If the answer is yes, you've got an answer, you can move forward. If the answer is no, like we saw this morning, then okay, that's the answer. I'm not going to push down that door. I'll go a different direction. But until you get the answer, don't stop. Just keep praying. I don't have time to tie this in tonight. But just something to think about is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here's another prayer that wasn't answered. Well, we did get the answer. He prays three times and the answer is no. The answer is no. And when the answer was no, Jesus said, "Take this, let this cup pass from me." But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. When the answer is yes, great, move forward. When the answer is no, nevertheless, thy will be done. But just keep praying. One more quote. Charles Spurgeon said this. If you may have everything by asking and nothing without asking, I beg you to see how absolutely vital prayer is. And I beseech you to abound in it. Just a few little verses tonight. We see the power of a praying mom. Her daughter's life was absolutely changed because she didn't stop praying. It could be a mom, it could be a dad, it could be a kid, it could be a teenager. It could be anybody. Pray about everything and anything. Don't stop praying until you get an answer. And then just keep praying. Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn to pray. What a great example we have in this woman. We don't even know her name. We know where she's from, and that's about it. Lord, what a great example. Lord, I know that there are people here tonight that are frustrated and maybe wondering, are you ever going to answer my prayer? Lord, there's people here tonight that have been praying for somebody to be saved for years, praying for relationships to change for years. Maybe there's someone here tonight and they're praying for a need to be met, finances or health. And Lord, I pray that you just use this lesson tonight, this story from your word, to encourage us to just keep praying. We know you want to hear us. We know you want to spend time with us, and we know that you want to answer. I just don't know why you didn't answer right away. But that's okay. It's not ours to know. But Lord, I pray that you just can help us to continue praying and just pray in faith that you will hear us.